for listening to Hope Central's latest message. You can learn more about Hope Central or find more messages at hopecentral.org.au.
Glad to see you guys. Welcome people from Gawler and Salisbury as well, as we just hang out together in this weird little moment before the year really kind of starts. Do you feel like it's not really started until you've gone back to work or back to school or whatever it is? It's just kind of like this lull. So I just thought it would be great to just talk about this lull moment. Is a great moment to really help us to learn to focus better. Today I want to talk about squinting. Can everybody just squint at me, please, just to check your squinters? Can you do that? Okay. I'm going to talk about the power of focus. This is what I think. I think God wants me to talk to you today about how we would be so much more effective in the life that he's given us if we could just focus it. Rather than try to do 1,000 different things and be distracted by all of the opportunities and all of the amazing things that there is in this world, if we could just narrow it down and focus, we would be so much better. Now, I just want to show you something about the pain that comes from not focusing. I spent some time yesterday preparing the ceiling in our new ensuite to receive a skylight. Anyone do that yesterday? I'm the only one. So to do that, you have to cut ceiling timbers and that kind of thing, and then they need to be resupported by a beam. And to get a beam into a roof that's long, it's not that easy. So I figured a way to get it in the manhole and just kind of ram that thing straight up in there and then get it over. I put the air conditioning, the wiring, and everything's getting in the way, and I'm thinking, this is not really good. So I got my ladder up, and I stood it there. You know, it's like when you got, I got new floorboards in the hallway, so I didn't want to damage them, so I put the mat, the back door mat, underneath the ladder just so I didn't damage the floorboards. And while I was up on the ladder decided that it didn't want to stay there anymore. So I fell out of the roof and got this fantastic bruise and scarring. I also got a nice noggin on the back of my head. It's a nice bump still today. It's a nice little bump. And I bit my lip. So it is horribly, horribly painful if you don't focus on the right thing. What was I supposed to be focusing on? Anyone? Safety. My safety. Right. That was the first thing to focus on. The most important thing was not how am I going to get the beam across the ceiling. The most important thing is how am I going to do that without hitting my head, biting my lip, and carving up my arm on the ceiling. Now, but of course, this is another illustration of focusing, because I've decided this year that rather than the last house that I had, you know that I renovate our houses, the last house I had, we took 20 years to renovate it. Does anyone feel like that's long? Yeah, that's because, yeah. Jody it says a hearty amen to that one. I'm sure my kids could also agree that, having things well, 20 years down the line is probably just a little bit too long. So I decided I'm only going to take 2 years to do this one. But to do that, I have to focus on doing it. Imagine that if your life is that way, that you can be distracted, you can do a ton of other things, or you can choose and just focus on what God wants you to do that. Now, I think it would be great if we all could just instantly do that. But I think what I'm going to advise you today is, I don't think you're going to be able to do that like that. You're going to need to squint. So I'm going to say, you're probably not going to be able to focus well, but you can squint. If you compared our lives to the power of, the different elements that people have learned to focus, you know that they can, if you focus water with enough precision and enough power, that actually cuts through metal. In fact, one of the best ways to cut metal is with water, because it leaves it nice and perfectly clean and it doesn't overheat because there's water. You get it? But you can also do the same thing with light. If you focus light enough, it will cut through metal. And if our lives are very similar to that, that a life that is sort of diffused across 1,000 different things actually makes almost no difference in the way that we were created to be. But if we could just find a way of focusing our lives into the things that God's called us into, that we could probably make a much bigger difference. Now, when I talk about focus, I'm going to use an illustration that Jesus used, and that is the illustration of an eye. You know, here's a couple of pictures of a couple of eyes. And what I want you to notice is that if something's far away or if something's near, that the result of the focus on the back of the eye, which is, have I got a red pointer there? That's that part there, your retina. That is where the light is meant to be focused on, whether you are talking about something that's near or something that's far. The lens here in the middle, if you notice, it changes shape to accommodate something. It changes shape so that it can remain in its focus. And that's, I think, really important because there's a lot of things about what God has called us to that are both near to us and far away from us. Anybody thinking about heaven? Yeah, this week? Next week? Are you expecting it this year? Well, it could happen. We don't know. And this isn't a sermon about biblical prophecy, but it could happen at anytime soon. But it's something that's very far away, but you have to be able to focus on the outcome of your life. That ultimately your life is not about the sort of the rewards and the praises and the experiences of this world. That's not what life is about. Ultimately, the end goal is when we receive the praise and the accommodation of our Father in heaven for the life that we lived here on earth. Heaven ultimately is the focus of every Christian's life. But also, there's the here and now, the problems and the issues and the people that are right in front of us, all of the things that are happening right away. We've got to have this ability to constantly focus on the important things that are around us. Now, if you're like me, you might have an eye problem. So in a normal case, there's some lovely cherries there. You still eating your Christmas cherries? Anyone? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you're looking at those cherries and your lens is doing its job, then your focus will be there on your retina. If you have short-sightedness, then those cherries will be there, but your lens doesn't do its job and it focuses at a point in front of your retina. And then by the time it gets to your retina, it's blurry. But you could also be long-sighted, where your lens isn't doing the right job, it's not adjusting properly, and the thing that you're focusing on is blurry against your eyes. Now, can everybody see these? These are my glasses. When I was a child, I didn't need glasses. In fact, I didn't wear glasses until I was 15 years old. But apparently what happens, and this is sort of an awkward illustration, but when puberty onsets, that your eyes begin to grow. Your eyes, when you're kind of like a tiny baby, they're pretty much the same size. Have you noticed that? Like babies' eyes are like giant in their heads, and their heads are way too big for their bodies. If they just grew that up and you just sort of multiplied that, then you have these giant head people walking around. But babies are growing with these like almost, you know, big size heads, and they've got these large eyes, and their eyes really don't change shape until you hit puberty, and then the eyes grow again. Now, the problem that I had is that when my eyes grew again, the muscles around my lens did not adjust properly, and they have left the lens of my eye distorted. I am myopic, if you would like to know. I have myopia. And so I wear these corrective lenses. Can anybody else think of a way that your life loses its focus when you hit puberty? Yeah. Yeah. If you could imagine that, you know, if you ever like survey 6-year-olds, they've got a lot of focus in their lives, don't they? They're going to be figure skaters. They're going to be rock musicians. They're going to be champion motorcycle riders. They're going to be astronauts. They're going to be nurses. They're going to be aliens. Whatever. They got a lot of purpose. They know a lot of things. They got a poster on their wall to prove it. But then as life goes on, a series of events happen that leaves their lives super unfocused. And I don't know about you, but when I first found Christ Jesus, my life got a focus that I'd never had in my before. Like my life had a person, had a someone that I could see clearly who was amazing. And there was nobody who had touched me, changed me like him. Jesus came into my world. He saved me out of darkness He brought me into light, and I saw the world in a whole new way. And then as I was experiencing Christ in that way, the desire of my heart was suddenly to live a life that just brought praise and worship to him. That's all I cared about. Can you show me your hand? When you first met Christ, did you really want to love him? Really want to produce fruit for him? Did you just put your hand? Do you really, 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 really? Now, the thing I've noticed, because I'm 50 now, is how many events come along in my life that make me lose focus. How many things, how many people, how many desires, how many ideas, how many passions come along that make me lose focus? So I want to ask the question today, why do we squint, Clint? Do you ever notice that Clint Eastwood is almost always squinting in all of the movies he's ever made? It could be Dirty Harry. He's squinting. I don't think he's ever done a romance movie. If he did, I'm sure he would squint at his beloved. What did you just say to me? You love me? Well, like I thought he was the best squinter out of the bunch. But if you were to try to correct your vision to make it better for you, you would squint. I spent a lot of my 15, 16-year-old time of my life with a perpetual squint because I was trying to see clearly. Any of you who wear glasses know exactly what that's like. Do you ever go through that time, glasses wearers, where you just didn't want to wear glasses because you want to be cool? And so you're like sitting at the back of the class without glasses, trying to pretend like you can read the board. You know, at some point, I remember saying, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, I remember standing next to a lady who was like in her 30s in a fast food place. And everybody's looking up at the menu behind the counter. And she was just like trying to look cool. And then every now and then, no one's looking, squint. And I just said to her, help yourself. You know. And amazingly, we had the same prescription, which I thought, wow, I can't see anything. How are you even functioning? The hamburger. So why do we squint? Well, I think there's several reasons. We squint to see the details. Have you ever seen people when they're really trying to see close features of something, they will squint to try to make sure they get it clear? Or sometimes you notice that people, when they're really trying to contemplate or think about something, I notice this when sometimes I'm trying to explain something to Jody. She'll be listening to me, but she'll squint at me. And that's just a clear signal. I'm not making any sense. Like, there's no problem with her brain. I'm just not making any sense. So in order to understand me more, she'll squint. And I think, no, that's not helping. Sometimes you squint so that you can concentrate on something. Really to focus your attention on something. And then you ever notice, like, this is the super squint. When you're listening to something, you can even shut your eyes. Have you ever tried to do that? Where you're, even if you said to someone, listen to that, they go like this. Like, why are you squinting? Like, it's not helping your ears at all. But we cut off something so that we can use something else more later. I want to talk about why squinting is something that Jesus told us to do. Squinting cuts down. The reason that squinting works is because the normal amount of light coming off an object, going through your eye lens, focuses all too much pieces of that thing coming from different parts, and if it doesn't focus proper, you end up with a blurred image. But if you squint, what you do is you actually cut down the amount of light that's going through your lens, so there's not as much information hitting your retina, therefore the image becomes clearer. Do you know a very powerful thing with squinting is that if you squint far enough and you bring your eyelashes in front of your vision, it actually helps you to see clearer. Why? Because you're not getting so many pieces of information. You're getting less. And that's why I think that people who've learned to focus well and accomplish a lot talk about eliminating things to achieve focus, not trying to concentrate harder. Steve Jobs said, people think focus means saying yes to the thing that you've got to focus on. But that's not what it means at all. It means saying no to the 100 other good ideas that there are. you have to pick carefully. If you're going to focus, it's not about just choosing one thing to look at. It's about purposely eliminating the other things that you could do. Now, when we squint, things become clearer. Now, I've taken a little while to get to the scripture because I actually think that understanding the way that an eye works is very important for understanding what Jesus is about to say. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, "The eye is the lamp of the body." So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is dark, is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, what I think is genius here is that if you were in the first century, if you were walking around with Jesus and his disciples, and Jesus had how many disciples? 12, right? Okay, you guys say, call and response. Do I have to act like a black preacher? How many disciples did he have? Well, there you go. So if we, you know, just got to do call and response, I'll get there. So of his disciples, the percentage of people in that group, probably it was around 40% that had vision impairment, like needed glasses. But how many people had glasses in the first century?
Zero.
Thank you. We got a buyer. Like, there was people in every group, in every setting, that understood that if you had eye problems, you had a problem. You had something that was unsolvable. In fact, if Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people on a hill, there is a very large portion of the people who are looking at him like this. Because they, in order to see, they have to squint. Because they're nearsighted. Like I would be if I was sitting in a crowd of people listening to Jesus. I would have been sitting there on that hill like this. Is that Jesus? Can we get him to dress different? Only the pictures, he's white. Because I couldn't tell at a distance who he was. Jesus says this. Your eye works like that for your body. Your eye is bringing in all of the things that you're trying to focus on. Your eye is a key tool for focus. In fact, you can understand more about focus in your life if you could just understand where your eye looks. And he says this. If your eye is focused on things that are dark, your life will be dark. And if your eye is focused on things that are full of light, if it's good, if it's operational, if it works well, then you will have a ton of light coming constantly in you. You will be flooded with light. But if you don't, then you will live in a perpetual kind of darkness. Now, that idea, he's not actually literally talking about eyes. Because by the way, one time I preached about this and talked about how bad eyes is like having this, you know, darkness or evil in you. And somebody who was blind in the congregation thought I meant that if you're blind, that you were evil. And it took a very, very long time to talk him out of that. I didn't mean that at all. So I'm not talking about, because, I mean, I'm vision impaired myself. I'm not saying that. I'm saying Jesus is making a metaphor for life. That if your lack of ability to focus on what is good is a problem, the problem means that you end up full of darkness. Now, the content, the context of this scripture then is then surprising. If Jesus is talking about the focus of your life, the context of this verse, I think you might find troubling, because I do. Recently, I heard somebody preaching on this scripture and never once referred to the context, and I thought, well, then why did Jesus say it in this context if the context doesn't matter? But here's the context. The context of what Jesus is talking about is money, income, and outcomes. So this verse, I've just decided to, because the content is both, I'll just show you how the context around that verse shows both his concern for people's concern for income and then about people's lack of concern for outcomes. Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more important than food? Is not the body more important than clothing?" Is that not true? But it's very true of us that we spend a whole lot of time thinking about what we'll put on our body rather than what we put in our bodies, right? We don't eat that healthy, live that healthy, but we sure dress nice. Like it's a strange thing about us. But Jesus says, one of the issues of life is the absolute obsession with income. Now, if I told you about those 6-year-olds who want to be astronauts, nurses, and ambulance drivers. How many of them get to their dream? If I could interview the 6-year-old version of you with your heart set on a vision for your life, or if I could interview the brand new Christian version of you who's just understood how much God loves you and you are willing to do anything for him, if I could interview those people and then say, what happened? This is what Jesus thinks. Income and the concern for income has a lot to do with why you're not focused on what you used to be focused on. Income. We worry about money. And Jesus says, don't worry about money. Why do you spend your life obsessing about buying this or having enough of that? But then he gives these fantastic illustrations. You don't see birds or flowers of the field obsessively worrying about whether they'll have enough. And yet they're fine. Now, why are they fine? They're not fine because they've got some sort of, you know, retirement package plan that gives them a steady stream of income. They are fine because your heavenly Father cares for them, right? They are not fine because they're doing something about it. They're fine because God is doing something about it. And so Jesus looks at us, all of us in humanity, and says, you spend so much of your life, so much of your time, constantly distracted about the needs of your body. And because of that distraction, you live an unfocused life. Now, I've got to say that this is a problem for me. I know that my life, whenever I'm concerned about the income that I think I and my family needs, that I make poor choices about the purposes of God. That whenever I'm concerned about money, I am unfocused on the one thing that God has called me to be and do. Now, the other side of things is outcome. So Jesus says this just before he talks about the eye. He says, don't lay up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. So Jesus is saying that when we lose focus on what our lives are about, we lose focus about where our lives are going. If you spend all of your income on things that are to do with you and about the concerns that you have for your life, and you don't think about how you're laying up your store of treasures for your future, you are going to live an unfocused life, because the goal of life is to please God, to live a life of worship to him. And Jesus is still noticing most of us, and I think that this sermon is against the gods and the principalities of this world. They want you to focus on the here and now and the things that make you happy. And Jesus says, if you don't get your eye off of the things of here, the wealth and the rewards and the comforts and the pleasures of this life, you will live an unfocused life and ultimately have no treasure stored in heaven. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay, good. Still with me. All right. Haven't given up. So the context, Jesus, then, he says that this money or the lack of it causes a love battle that uses income to change outcomes. Your income changes your outcome. So he says, nobody can serve two masters, because he'll either hate the one, love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. He's very clear about this. It's a love thing. It's an attention thing. It's a worship thing. It's a concern thing. It's where you're putting your focus. And Jesus says, you will be deluded and delusional. You won't be able to see clearly if you love one of these things more than the other. You've got to keep your focus on loving God. And if you do, you will have all of these other things added to you. So money, then, is the earthly power that determines how I survive and how I thrive. And if that is what is common to all of humanity, then it is the single most lens-distorting thing to the focused life. Like, can I just say this? I don't want to preach at you like, you better give me your money. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that when Jesus talked about living a focused life, he used money as the main illustration. He's the one, because he sees everything, right? He's not unclear. He's not unfocused. He sees the reason why things are the way they are. And he sees the reason that we are not living focused life is because we are too concerned about ourselves and not concerned enough about heaven, and that's causing an unfocused life. Now, Proverbs, it gives this sort of, I think, a really good summary of the way that people feel. Now, this is a proverb of Agur, not a proverb of Solomon. But he says something I think is really, really wise, but it's also full of concern. He doesn't have a real promise and a hope to it, but let's hear his concern. He says, two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Like, let me be clear. Let me be full of truth. And secondly, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Like this wise guy, he's saying, you know what distorts me and the community is when we don't have enough or we have too much. If we don't have enough or we have too much. Now, how many people are living in that perfect balance? I mean, you could have a ton of stuff and you still feel like it's not enough. And you could have just enough and you're wasting your time with it. So he says, please, God, can you just give me the middle where I'm not pulled in either direction? Please. So the reason I think that Jesus is saying this thing is it's just not as hard as you think. It just boils down to your focus. Where your treasure is, your heart will automatically go there. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will go. Whatever you love, that's where it's going to go. And if you invest your treasure in the things of God, then you will be focused on God. If you don't, then you will be unfocused on God. And so all you need to do is squint. So Jesus says your treasure is your focus. Where your focus is your what, where, who, treasure. Like, who do you want? Where are you going? What is this all about? What is your life for? And if you have a good eye, then you have good treasure or you're focused on good treasure. So what is a good eye? Well, a good eye is an eye that can focus on the right thing and draws in even more light. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, now that word there for healthy is actually the Greek word single or focused. Like if your eye is singular, you will have great light in your body. The whole body will be full of light, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, well then how great is that darkness? So, don't make 2021 about how you will survive and thrive. Survive and thrive. That's bad for your vision of life. Make it about loving God and loving others. And let him take care of you. Don't, we are massively distracted right now. I think the Christian world is just constantly under the attack of the evil one to get distracted on a ton of other useless and immaterial things that don't even matter. And the number one way that those attachments, those distractions take place is when it feels like it's going to hit our bottom line. When it feels like it's going to change my job, when it feels like it's going to hurt how much money and how much confidence I've got. Because you know, like the number two position in politics is always the treasurer. You got the prime minister and you got the treasurer. Because what people seem to be the most concerned about is how the decisions of government are going to affect my lifestyle. How much money I will have. And I think that right now in the pandemic, the outcome of the pandemic and all the things that are going on, we got so many people focused even more because didn't you notice this? Didn't as soon as the pandemic started, didn't you all start to worry about where your money was going to come from? And the more we begin to focus on, whoa, where are we going to get money from? The less we are interested and focused on giving away, helping out others, giving our money to God, or even giving our time to God, or even giving our confidence to God, or giving our trust to God, because we suddenly be so concerned about our own welfare. It is massively distracting, and it leads us to an unfocused life. But God can take care of us. I want to just finish this message by showing you three slides of people who I think have had great contemplation about a focused life. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read them to you, and then I want you to just think about this. So can I just have your perky attention? Can you just give yourself a nice woohoo? I'm going to read this, and then I want you to just think about it. Oswald Chambers says, "The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Where if you do not fear God, you fear everything else." The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you don't fear God, you fear everything else. John Wesley. "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not whether they be clergymen or laymen. They alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon earth." Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not whether they are clergymen or laymen. They alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. So whether we are at home, that is in our bodies, or away, meaning in heaven, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit's help right now as we contemplate our lives. Lord, we know that you made us to be able to have a great and a single focus. But Lord, our lives are very distracted, very concerned about other things. And Lord, we want to squint down so that we can cut out all of the other things, so that our hearts, our minds, our spirits are focused on the one thing that you have called us to be and do. Lord, we ask for forgiveness for the way that we've wasted our life, wasted our treasures, wasted our time, that have not been about the purpose that you gave us, that the calling the heart that you put into us. Lord, we pray that you forgive us for those wasted times, years. But we pray, Father, that you would help us right now to eliminate all of the other distractions and concerns and give us the ability to focus on the one single thing that you've called us to. I just want you to just experience God right now, just guiding you and helping you. What is the vision? What is the dream that God put in you? What is the desire that he put in your heart to do for him? If there was no conditions on it, no need for money, no need for any kind of other support, no need for all of the other things that you think are needed to make it happen. If there was just the choice to do what God's called you to do, what would that be? Holy Spirit, help us to hear your voice. And to lay aside every distraction. And to focus in on you. We pray that as we spend some time in worship now, Lord, that you would guide our hearts and our minds so that our lives begin to eliminate the distractions and begin to eliminate the falsehoods and begin to see clearly who you are and what our lives can mean when we totally trust them to you. So Jesus, come and minister to us as we take this chance to minister to you in song and in worship. Lord, as we sing, Lord, we pray that you speak. And we pray that you would change our hearts as we glorify you, Lord. We pray, work in our midst by your Holy Spirit's power. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Hope Central in Adelaide, South Australia. If you want more information about who we are, visit us at hopecentral.org.au or join us for Sunday worship at any of our three campuses.